So does that bode well for your expectations for what happens at the trade deadline and moving forward with him in charge?
It doesn't have me super jazzed. I mean, Huntington ended up doing, I think, in balance, a good job here.
I would agree with that.
He had three ridiculously good seasons by their standards in a row. I think there were things he did wrong. But again, by this time on the job for Neil Huntington, we had started to see actual results. He got hired in late 2007. Charrington got hired in what, late 2019?
Mm-hmm. And then 2020, I don't really count because it was a 30-game season.
But we had seen Huntington start to field a competitive team. This would be, what, his 2012 equivalent? That team should have broken the curse of, or the losing season streak.
Well, if you go by that then, Chris, they are about the same, because that team won, what, 78, 79 games?
79 and 83.
And that's where this team is ticketed right now.
But that team looked like a better team in a lot of ways. Like, they had some hitters, they had some guys.
One of the worst Septembers we've ever seen.
Correct. This team, what's frustrating about this team continues to be for me that I just don't know. Charrington can say everything he just said. I don't know if he really does understand how precious this season is with what he has in his starting rotation. And when he talks about keeping seasons open in the future and keep the window open, that does bring me back to, are there innings limits that'll come into play? Because next year you'd think most of those limits, if not all of them, would be out the window.
Well, but that would contradict that every major league season is precious if you're in the mix and you cash out on a season with your two best pitchers when the whole reason why your team is in the playoff mix is because of those pitchers. If they were a great hitting team,
mm-hmm.
and they had young pitchers that they were careful with, and they felt like, well, you know, our teams can win games 9-7. We don't need these guys. And they wanted to be extra cautious and shut them down. I still would not say right move, but I would get it more. I would understand it better. The whole reason why fans from time, like, depending on how they're doing, they've just won two in a row. Depending on the last time we saw Paul Skenes pitch or Jared Jones or Mitch Keller pitch, depending on what day of the week it is and if those things line up, people can get very excited about this current team, not next year's team or 2 years from now.
Correct.
Right now. So to me, if you're saying every major league season is precious, like the one we're in right now where we are in the mix, you can't then in September say, well, check that. I'm looking at the numbers here and, you know,
these innings counts. But if you're trying
47% of pitchers that increase their innings by more than 30 innings end up needing Tommy John. So,
but if you're the Verducci rule? But if you're trying to be competitive down the, you
what
know,
is flex, by the way? A baseball writer has a baseball rule named after him. Imagine if there was the Starkey rule or the Seitz rule in a sport, the Cook rule.
What would the Starkey rule even be? I'm trying to think of like something that's funny about Joe that's applicable here.
If a player gets stung by a bee, he's traumatized for life and doesn't want to play anymore. You need to trade him away.
Retire immediately. If a player is given a speeding ticket on the Zeiss rule, then he immediately gets a new contract. I don't know. There is enough said in that quote about next year and years beyond that just has me thinking that he's trying to satisfy both ends of it here. He's trying to serve two masters. And I should be more consistent and be a little more critical of this, because Neil Huntington would routinely talk that way, and it ultimately gave them three really good seasons in a row but never got them to where they wanted to be.
The thing about that answer, the way that you're describing it, and he did say that, quote, it's not a matter of whether we're willing to give up something to get something. We are. We should be willing to do that. We're ready to do that. We have to find the right matches. We have to find that trade that doesn't make us feel like we're completely mortgaging the future and at the same time makes this team better. Or if we're renting somebody and it's only for this year, it's going to be like in 2013 with Justin Morneau, where does anybody even remember who went back to the Twins in that deal?
I do not.
Me neither. I have no idea. Donnie, maybe look that up. Did the Pirates
even send a player, or was it cash?
Okay, there it makes my point even better. Like, we gave up next to nothing for a guy that we plugged right in and played every day. So they'll do that kind of rental. They won't do the rental where they give up prospects and then the guy is gone as soon as the season is over. But what I'm getting at is, on June 27th, what, you found it?
Okay. Donnie, I hope you didn't look this up. Morneau traded by the Twins to the Pirates for a PTBNL and Alex Presley. Been to Canada, Alex?
Ah, yes.
If either of you can name the PTBNL, the player to be named later in the Morneau trade, I will. Here we go.
I've got a memory hole on it, man. I'm not going to be able to do it. So
I will give either of you $5 if you can do it.
I don't have this one. I wish I did, but I don't.
This guy's a legend, Donnie. This man was
Mike Zagurski?
No. He appeared in a whopping 2 games in the major leagues ever. Duke Welker. Who could forget Duke
Welker?
I'm
sure at the time we had people calling in who love prospects who said they're going to regret trading.
When they made the Bird trade, I distinctly remember a guy on Twitter who I think like I followed because
was he one of these prospect nuts?
That wasn't his main vibe on Twitter, but it turned out that was part of his thing, because when they made the Bird trade, people were, I think, reasonably excited about that. He sent a bunch of tweets to various baseball, like Pirate-centric accounts, going, this is a horrible trade. How could they give up Dilson Herrera? Like, this is going to set them back 5 years. I'll look up Dilson Herrera for you right now, Pony. Dilson Herrera, 6 years in the major leagues technically, 272 career major league plate appearances, and a 676 OPS. He has not played a baseball game in the majors since 2020.
Yeah, they didn't regret that trade.
No, they did not.
The point I'm trying to make is that you can say that you're looking for this perfect match on June 27th when there's another month plus before the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
There's not the urgency yet because you haven't fallen out of the race. You're still in the thick of it. You're treading water. No one has made a deal within that mix of teams that makes you nervous, like, oh, crap, they got the player I wanted or I was targeting.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier for the GM to pretty much say, at this point, right match, I'm only going to make a trade unless it fits exactly the specifications that I'm looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're planning on moving somewhere. You want to be in that new house or whatever a year from now. Like, you're being more picky about what you're shopping for, what you're looking for when you're in the first couple of weeks or months of that process. I think that's where they're at. It'll be interesting whether he's saying it is one thing, but if internally that's how they really feel when we get closer to the deadline. The only thing that makes me wonder about that is what the owner said. The owner made it sound like his preference would be for something to get done very, very soon. Make something happen now. We don't have to wait. We don't have to circle.
How much do you think that's tied to the owner understanding that they've had a couple bad losses, but if they continue to not hit great, but they just go on a winning streak, they hit a little bit more, that is quelled within him? Because I think that's plausible. Like, the owner, if they win 5 or 6 games in a row and suddenly they're over 500.
So what if Nutting had given that interview? What if they had made the sponsorship deal not last Friday, but this Friday, and they've won 2 games in Cincinnati, and they've scored runs the last 2 games?
I wonder if he's a... I don't know this. I'm not saying this to rip him either. I don't know if he's a prisoner of the moment a little bit about it. I give him credit that when it happened last Friday, he was clearly annoyed enough by what he had seen on the field that he actually said something about it.
They want a Little Red Riding Hood deal, or not Little Red Riding Hood. Who's the other? Goldilocks. They want a Goldilocks
deal. They want the
right
bowl of porridge.
They want the third bowl of porridge right now, the one that's just right.
So you said you wonder, because they're so early in this process, if they're looking only for the perfect deal, and you compare it to house buying. That's fine. What if, though, Rowdy Tellez continues to hit, and a couple of guys in that lineup, I'm not saying they make all-star hitting turns, right? But they uptick. They come up to the mean a little bit. That combined, if it all happened, would start to look pretty damn good if Reynolds is hitting. What if he said just as picky a month from now as he would otherwise be, because they're hitting a little more and they're in the thick of the race? It's not gonna squelch fans' desire to see them still out of bat, but it might internally douse that fire for them a little bit. If they're 4 games over 500 and they're scoring a little bit more in the way it runs with the guys they have, they won't feel as much urgency, I don't think.
I don't think that. But I think even in that case, fans, if Sawinski started hitting home runs like crazy and Taylor started to hit like he did last year and Hayes started to look like the guy he did in the second half of last year, if 2 out of those 3 things happen, I think fans would be not like completely satiated and satisfied, but I think they would be okay if the Pirates did not swing for the fences with a big hitter. I think they would probably just say, give me a couple bullpen arms so I don't have to watch Danny Santana and Justin Brühl anymore. And that's
give me that guy
me.
Contreras from the Angels. He looks like a promising arm. How about you talk to the Dodgers?
I think
about
he
that
started the other day. I think he actually made a start for them.
Well, his batting average on balls in play is unsustainably low, Pony, so they actually made the right move to get
Who
rid
said
of him.
That?
The same people telling me in no uncertain terms that they would never do the Vlad Guerrero trade hypothetical I put out there are also telling me that Roansy Contreras actually isn't that good.
And Contreras yesterday, 3 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts, ERA and LA for the year now, 3.24.
But what's his FIP?
FIP?
What's his ex-FIP?
His FIP is 4.36.
Hmm. What was his best FIP in the Pirates organization?
Best FIP with the Pirates?
Can't use that first year where he
4.38
FIP. Hmm. I guess Roansy just is who we thought he was.